19. I enjoyed studying this. I didn't feel real good, and when you're tired or either you're sick, you can't hardly absorb things that you want to study for. But I done the best I could by putting something down that we could probably hope to get something out of. But it's Easter time, and it's time to celebrate the resurrection. But Jesus Christ is death, burial, and resurrection. But I like for us to see the shadows of Jesus through Isaac. And as we find out in Hebrews chapter 11, 17 through 19, but really we'll go back to Genesis chapter 22, that great chapter of Abraham and Isaac, what Isaac represents. But I would like to read these few verses at this time, 17 through 19, Hebrews chapter 11, and talking about Abraham, and also it's going to be dealing with Isaac. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, that means tested. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, that's Abraham, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, according that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Let us pray again. Father, we want to thank you for the blessings, O God, of your precious and your holy word. Father, that's something that we can stand on throughout all the humanity of this world we're living in now. The humanity is getting so, so wicked, Father, but we thank you for your word. It does not change. People change, but your word will not change, and we thank you, Lord, it's settled in heaven. And Father, we pray that, Lord, we might be able to stand on this and take a direction that you would have us to go. And Father, we just want to thank you for the blessings that you've blessed each one of us with, and every member of this church, O God, for, Lord, being so good and so merciful to us, O God. We pray tonight, Lord, we might see you in these scriptures, and Lord, that you might be magnified before our very eyes here this night. And Father, what you have done this Easter season, Father, that you were willing to die on that cross, Father, you went into that old tomb, Father, and you rose again, and Father, you ascended on up high, and we praise you and thank you that we serve a living Savior. Father, the great blessings that we're blessed with today because you live. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're looking in Genesis chapter 22 and several more verses of Scripture. You know, the Bible has 66 books in the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. It was wrote over a period of about 1,500 years. There were about 40 different authors and wrote in three different languages that we have it. The background from every walk of life of mankind. But as you bring it all together, you don't have 66 books. You have one. And you have one hero, and that is Jesus Christ. You have one villain, and that is the devil. You have one theme of the Bible, and that is salvation. You have one purpose, and that is the glory of God. The Bible, somewhere, if you read anywhere in the Bible, you will find somewhere in the shadow of Jesus Christ, and we fix and see that. Abraham was what called the father of the faithful. He's a father of the Jews. He's a father of Christianity according to faith. And you know what? He is also the father of the Muslims. That's their great father. So he is a star in most of humanity this day is old Abraham. He's certainly the great star we know in the Hebrew, the people of the Hebrew. We call them Jews today. Jesus Christ, several centuries before he was born, we see in verse 19 I read, says that received him in a figure. That means a type. That means a illustration of prophecy to come in the New Testament. The reason, many reasons that Jesus Christ was prophesied in the Old Testament. I ain't gonna tell how many reasons there are, but one of the great reasons we see here tonight of the scriptures I'm fixing to give you is, you know, it confirms the inspiration of the Word of God, the scriptures. And also it shows the deity of Jesus Christ. He didn't lay his godhood down when he come down to this earth, was born as a baby. He was still 100% God and 100% man. Hard for us to understand that or reason it out, but it's true. And then the third reason we know, about 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, you know, come in this area that we might see and understand in prophecy, that we might read it tonight and have the joy in discovering and feasting on the great things of the Old Testament. You see, IB needed salvation some years ago, and God opened the door for me of salvation. And when he opened the door for me for salvation, I enjoyed many, many other doors. I picture salvation every morning, and I thank the Lord for salvation every morning. I go to my study. That's the first thing I do. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Well, do you thank him for other things? Well, yes, but you see, it all starts there. You know, when you open that door, I thought maybe when I first got saved, I saw that door through my spiritual eyes. And, you know, and I opened that door, you know, with my faith. And whenever I stepped into salvation, I thought just one door was all it. But no, he showed me a long hall. I can't even see the other end of it. And all down that hall, there's just door after door after door after door after door. He keeps unlocking doors all through our Christian life once you step into salvation. And we walk down the hall. Ray sings that song, That Door. You know, what is that? What's the name of that song, that door Ray sings? You opened up that door. What it is? Well, he opened up the doors. Not just one, but the doors in every one of our life. Huh? The secret place. Yeah, and even in the secret places, he's opened up them doors. He opened up some doors for y'all. You know what? He keeps doing that. He keeps doing that. So the joy that we get for him to open up these doors. John 8:56 says, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. That's Jesus speaking. What day was Jesus talking about? He is talking about whenever Abraham offered his son Isaac to be sacrificed, his own son. And he didn't have to sacrifice him because God had a substitute. But he saw Jesus' day, and he was certainly glad that he didn't have to sacrifice his son. Galatians 3:18 said, The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathens through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. Abraham, this way, all nations are going to be blessed. Just what just happened to you as he carried his only son up there to put him to death and sacrifice him. The portrayal of Jesus Christ, the example and also the picture of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, Lord, I am. Here I am. And he said, Take thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto a land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So we find that Abraham took his son Isaac, who went to Moriah, and you see, he's going to offer his son. Now, this was a special person who is described here to start with, a very special person. Isaac becomes a picture and a shadow of Jesus Christ. I thought I'd just give you some of these shadows. I found it very interesting. I don't know if you will or not, but very interesting. The shadow of Isaac portrayed of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, and the very same thing said when Jesus Christ went through the same thing he did. You see, the first shadow we find out is Isaac that you see about Jesus Christ. Isaac's birth was prophesied. Well, in Genesis, if you write these down, you want to go back and look at them. Genesis chapter 18, 9 through 14, but I'll just read verse 14 for you. And it's talking about Abraham, whenever, you know what, Isaac was born, and Abraham was an old man, and, you know, the angels come up there to Abraham, and, you know, Sarah, she laughed, and they said, you know, Sarah's going to have a child, and, you know, she was in the back of the tent, and the angel said, you know, I heard Sarah laugh, and she said, no, I didn't laugh. Yeah, you laughed about it. And then you find out in verse 14, the angel says, Anything too hard for the Lord? At this time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. You see, it was prophesied. She shall have a son. She laughed. Is anything too hard for God? Now, you look about Jesus Christ. Same prophets prophesied in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 7 and 14, listen to what it says about Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. You might want to write that verse of Scripture down because a lot of these translations, if you'll find out right here where they'll go wrong, there's some translations that tell you that they're going to be a young Jewish girl going to give birth. They take the miracle completely out of the verse, and you know what they do? One translation I could tell you about, but I'm not because some of them I've seen you have them, but this particular translation, it was up in the Scriptures about a young girl is going to have a child. Well, what's the miracle about a young that millions of Jew girls going to have babies in the future from where this time was prophesied? Didn't say anything about a virgin, just a young girl. And you'll find out they moved it. It got where it wouldn't sell. These Bibles got where they wouldn't sell this translation. So they moved it from the scriptures down into footnotes. So it's in the footnotes now, but they wouldn't take it out. And you know what? They're just doing away with the virgin birth whatsoever. I wouldn't read them. I wouldn't use that Bible. Of course, I got one of them myself, but I wouldn't use that to read out and study from. I just want to know where they go to the bad at. But anyway, that verse of scripture that tells us now, it says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign about Jesus. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, that's the prophecy of Jesus Christ's birth, just like it was for Isaac. Well, the second thing as you look at, as you find out that Isaac, how Isaac was conceived, the same way, you know, it was a miracle. It was a miracle, and all the same thing of Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14, is anything too hard for God? You see, that was a miracle in itself. At that point in time, he said, I'm going to return, and she's going to have a child. The same thing I had just read you. Well, Abraham, Sarah, you're old. I know you're old. Jesus Christ, you know, whenever he came in this world, Luke 1 and 34 says, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? I hadn't been with a man. How can I be pregnant? I hadn't been with a man. And the angel tell her the same thing. Is anything impossible with God? Is anything impossible with God? For with God, nothing, it says to Mary, nothing shall be impossible. Sarah says, is anything too hard for God? God can do it. So we know that it was conceived by a miracle, both of them. Isaac and also Jesus. Isaac's birth was at a set time, Genesis 21 and 2. For Sarah shall conceive and bear Abraham a son in his old age at a set time of which God spoke to him. A set time. Jesus, in Galatians 4 and 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made a woman, made under the law. The fullness of time, at that set time, God sent his son, Jesus. Both of them, as we see, was born at a set time. We find that Isaac was also prenamed. Jesus was also prenamed in the Bible. Genesis chapter 17 and 19. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. That was Isaac. Now we find out also about Jesus. Matthew 1 and 21. Matthew 1 and 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, prenamed, for he shall save his people from their sin. Isaac was prenamed. Jesus was prenamed. But then we find out also the love of the Father. I kind of like this myself, the love of the Father. Isaac was loved by his father Abraham so much. Genesis chapter 22 and 2, I think I've done read it. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into a land of Moriah, and offer him therefore for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Jesus, John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The love of the Father. Jesus Christ was loved by his Father also. But Isaac was offered as a sacrifice. In Genesis chapter 22, it says, take him up there and offer him there on Mount Moriah for a burnt offering as a sacrifice. Jesus in Hebrews 11 and 19 also tells us the same thing. It says, according that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. He was dead. So we see that he... And he called him out of the tomb. He was sacrificed and called him out of the tomb. Isaac was raised up from the dead. Jesus was raised up from the dead. We find in Genesis 22 and 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw a place afar off. 3 days. 3 days later. 3 days later. Now, that's before he offered up Isaac. Now, they come to the bottom of the hill. And 3 days later, it's what it said. On the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off, way up there in the mountains. 3 days. Well, that means in 3 days and 19, I didn't read that for you, what it says about Jesus Christ. According to that, God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him. And he figured that means, though, the Isaac. But in Abraham's heart and in his mind, as he was going up mountain, for 3 days he was already dead in Abraham's mind. He was already dead, but he had raised him from that dead. Abraham and mine, for 3 days, Isaac was dead. Abraham received him, you know, from the dead. Now, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which you also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel. That's just what happened. That was gospel. Isaac and Jesus. And that's the Old Testament account of Jesus Christ, the gospel. I thought you might like that. I know it's a lot of scripture reading. You get thrown off a lot by scripture reading, but that's the way the picture looks. But then the specific place that was designated in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 2, and also in verse 4, we already read this. And he said, "Take thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into a land of Moriah. Offer him therefore a burnt offering upon the mountain which I tell thee." And then we know what it says there in verse 4 also, that on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes. Now, you see, you go to a place that I tell you to go to. Now, the whole thing comes down into this place. As I was watching television, they built a new telescope. It's so much stronger than a Hubble telescope. I don't know nothing about this stuff except what I see on television. But I don't know how many thousands of times it's stronger than the old Hubble telescope. I think it's going to be out on some of a satellite somewhere or another. But they tell the unknown millions of galaxies is in our universe. I don't know how they come up with all this stuff. They do, you know, it's beyond my comprehension. Anyway, but look, all these different planets that they know that's out there. And God points to a little small planet. They say, the earth is just a dot of all these planets. And God made all the universe, and he looks upon the earth and he points his finger, a little small, little dot there in the galaxy, and say, "That's earth." And the Lord says, "The earth is the Lord's." He said, "The earth is the Lord's." And then the whole globe, you see, all the land of the globe we have of this earth, and he points to one land. He says, "That's one land. The land of Israel is my land." And then God sees all the cities of our United States, of our world, all the cities of our world, and he sees the city of Jerusalem, and he says, "That's my holy city." And then he sees all the mountains that he's made of all over this world, this little speck. I don't know how many mountains they are in the universe, but just come down this little speck of all the mountains. He says, you know, all mountains, he said, "That's my mountain, Moriah. That's my holy hill." God put all this great world together, and what we study tonight comes right on down, and he points his finger at one little small speck, spot on the globe of this world, and he says, "That's my holy hill, Calvary." Mount Moriah, the same place where Jesus Christ was crucified. Calvary, Moriah. And he's pointing to that for us today. That's his mountain. The limestone ridge. Genesis chapter 22:2 says, "For Sarah shall conceive and bear Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God has spoken to him." And this happened. And he said, you know, you take and you sacrifice your son. And he really sacrificed his son. But he went to this place, 22:2, this place, the land called Moriah. He said that Moriah, you know what that means? It means foreseen of God. You know what? That same thing of Calvary. God foreseen all this before the foundation of this world. Luke 23:33 says, "And when they were come to the place," not a place, but the place. See, the place. They crucified him. That's Jesus. It wasn't a place across the universe. Weren't any place, it was the place. And God had told Abraham, "You come to the place, that Moriah." And that's what we'll be doing Sunday, is thinking about the place, the whole world, the whole galaxy. But God has pointed his finger at one little place, Mount Moriah, his holy hill called Golgotha. the purpose, you know, that we is designated here in 22, is he takes the only son, the son that thou lovest, the Moriah up in that mountain, offering for a sacrifice. This speaks also of the cross. Isaac was offered. In verse 4 through 8, in Genesis chapter 22, then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men that went with him, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, Father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. You understand it speaks now of Calvary, to offer up Isaac, the same place that Jesus Christ would die. Father and the son came to this point. Father and son came to this point. He come to this point with the servants with him, and what did he tell him? Y'all stay here because me and the son is the only one who can go further. Y'all stay here. Abraham, you know the story. We might go commune together. Well, in Gethsemane, you know what Jesus Christ, when he's going into the prayer, Peter and James and John went with him part of the way. He says, you stay here. Me and the Father's got to face this together. Not the exact word. We got to face this together. He went and faced Calvary. Isaac and his father, as he was going up that mountain, he says, you know, I see the torch, I see the fire, and I see the knife, and I see the wood. Well, the sacrifice on the cross. Now, verse 9, as we have read this now in Genesis chapter 22, verse 9, and they came to a place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, you know the stories. They went up the hill, or went up that little mountain. They had to carry the fire, and they had to carry the wood. Isaac was carrying the wood. They had a knife, and, you know, the fire was always carried inside like a little pot. And there was a cord, you know, that you bound the, always bound the sacrifice. You ripped it up. Now, Isaac was not a young man at that time. We know Isaac was probably at least a teenager at the very least, a teenager. But when he gets up to that time to be sacrificed, he said, well, son, give me your hands. He could overcome Abraham. Y'all know that? If he wanted to, he could overcome Abraham. You know, it says that Jesus Christ, when he was offered up, he said, you know what, they're going to take your life. He said, no, no man takes my life. I lay it down. Well, you see, Isaac, you see, nobody took his life. He was willing to lay it down. Now, as we see this, the son submitted himself there to the father. In verse 10, it says, Abraham stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. Now, as we see this, the wood now, and Isaac had to carry the wood up. It said there in Scripture that Isaac carried the wood. That shows the humanity of Jesus Christ. He carried that cross, and that's always the wood for humanity. In John 19 and 17, it tells us, and he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew tongue Golgotha. Now, as you see this, and also in verse 6 tells us about the wood and the burnt offering and the knife and all these things that he carried up there. Isaac began to carry the wood up that mountain to die as Jesus Christ carried his cross up on the mountain to die. Abraham began to tie his hand, had the cord, he had the knife, and he had the fire. Now you see the cord is the binding power of sin. Jesus Christ had to be sacrificed. This is a symbol of him. He bound his hand. That is the binding power of sin. And the knife is the bleeding power of sin. They had to have blood. Without the blood, there are no remission of sin. And then the fire. The fire burns away now the power of sin. You see, God's fire. And I tell you, God's fire didn't fall upon Isaac. God's fire fell upon Jesus. And God's holy fire against sin burned itself out on Jesus Christ. Now, Isaac didn't have to be sacrificed. You see, the story takes a little bit of a turn there where Isaac don't represent Jesus Christ. Isaac represents us. Because, you know, the sacrifice fell on Jesus and not Isaac. So the promise that declared here, we talked about this person and we talked about this place and we talked about the purpose. Now this promise is in Genesis chapter 22, 11 through 14 for just a moment. And the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou have not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him is a ram caught in the thickets by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of this place Jireh, as he has said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. Now, as we see this, the figure changes. I said, now Isaac now represents us. The knife did not fall upon Isaac, but the knife fell upon Jesus Christ as that sacrifice. And then he asked the question, the first question in the Bible, where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? And y'all know the answer to that as you read all the way through the New Testament. And John the Baptist baptized in the book of the Gospel of John, and he's baptized on the River Jordan, and Jesus Christ coming down the bank, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That is the answer to what Isaac asked, where is the lamb? But he said that God will provide himself a lamb, a lamb. And he did. His head was caught in those briars. Remember that Jesus Christ wore a crown of thorns? Well, God will provide himself a lamb. In John 8:56, it says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Abraham saw Jesus Christ on the cross through his son. And he said, I was glad when he saw it. And also Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not give him us all things freely? All things. Now, he spared not his own son. He came to a place, and Abraham named it Jehovah Jireh. Means the Lord will provide. Well, God will provide himself a lamb. He became the lamb. He says in Romans, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If you might ask me that you got a project going on and you would like to have my son, I got three sons. You might say, I would like to have one of your sons. I said, well, what do you want with him? Well, I like to take him and I like to torture him and I like to kill him on the cross for my cause. What you reckon I'd say? That's right. But let's just suppose that I loved your cause. And I thought enough about your cause that I would support it. And you asked me, would I give you with my son? I just suppose I'd say yes. Okay, I love your cause, and I'm going to support your cause, and I'm going to let you have one of my sons to torture and to die. And you take my son, and you torture him, and you put him to death. When you put him to death and by torturing him, then you come to me and ask me, says, well, can I have his computer also? And you're going to say, well, can I have his car? What would I say? I said, well, yes, I have just given you my greatest gift. I'll give you my son. Yes, you can certainly have his car. You can certainly have his computer and his clothes. Listen to what God said. Listen to his word said. He that spared not his own son, he gave his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You remember those doors I told you about? Remember those doors I told you about? He'll give us all things. If God has already give you his son, don't you think he's going to give you something else to take care of us? I need a Savior. The greatest gift. And Lord, save me. He provided salvation. And then I began to walk this path of life. There's been some sickness, been some sorrow, been some difficulties, been some problems. God says, I will provide, and he has. He has provided everything. I've given you my son. I provide for you everything that you ever need. You know, we have a problem with this as a Christian of accepting salvation and do not think God is big enough and want to give us all things. And we cut ourselves short so many times. I've given you my son. You think I'm going to hold back anything that I can give you? It's because of us that we don't get those great things that God wants us to have. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. You sitting here right here tonight, God has done that for you. He gave you salvation all down the walks of life. God has helped you and gave you some things you didn't know that you was even going to get. He provided for you in ways you don't even understand. And I'm going to tell you what, he's called this country out to be a Christian country. And God has given us a country with the great blessings of our country. And God has provided because we have been a Christian nation. But I'm going to tell you, God is going to start holding his blessings from us. Not because he wants to, because he has to. Because he has to. As you think about it, God will provide and he will see us through. He'll see you through. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some dark days if things don't change in our country. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some dark days. But we have the light of the world. I give you all things, and he'll see us through. No matter how dark it gets, God's going to see us through. There may be some tears and heartaches coming down the road, but God said, I'll see you through. Just name and claim that place as the place where God will provide, and he will. And we're going to make it. Thank you all tonight. You got something you put on for us? Just a moment. Thank you all for bearing with me.